And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
In Psalm 122, verse 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I'm sure that every time we go into God's house, that there should be that gladness and that thrill and that joy for each one of us. And today, on this beautiful day in June, we can again say we're glad to be in the Lord's house and worshiping Him who loves us and blesses us so much. Attitudes determine many, many things in life. I want to think with you today for a few moments on the attitude of prayer. I believe that the attitude with which we approach anything is quite significant. I know it is when it comes to prayer. In Luke 11:1, it came to pass when he was praying at a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now that disciple, unnamed at that location, made the request of Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. I believe that all of us need to constantly and continually need to be taught to pray. Oh, we can say, well, I've been praying for a number of years, for decades. And I've been a Christian for this long period of time. And I've been praying all of that time. I'm sure you have. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever fail to believe in the validity and the importance of prayer. James 4:3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may heap it or consume it upon your own lust. James said that some people pray and they don't receive, because they're asking amiss. The attitude of prayer is what we're concerned about in three specific considerations today. The first one is that whenever we pray, we should pray believing. Secondly, whenever we pray, we should pray accepting. And then lastly, whenever we pray, we should pray with the assurance of knowing that every prayer of God's children, God answers. Now, these are attitudes that should characterize us when we pray. But you may be thinking, well, that's not always the way I am when I pray. Because sometimes there may be moods in the sky of my life. And I may not always be able to pray just the way I'd like to pray. My attitude may not always be as I'd like for it to be. And I'm sure that's true of all of us. But let's continue to pray. And even if there may be clouds sometime in our sky, when we cannot pray as we would like to pray, let's pray as we can pray. Sure, it's wonderful that we can say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But sometimes there may be things that come that somehow cause us to be less than glad. That's true not only in worship, that's true in our prayer life, but as we've suggested, when we cannot pray as we'd like to pray, let's pray as we can pray. Because the moods will soon disappear. Obviously, prayer is not a blank check with God's signature. Neither should prayer be used as a parachute object. I'm afraid we treat God sometimes about like we do the spare tire in our automobile. We don't really think anything about it. We drive along, we go our merry way, until one day when we need that tire, and when we open the trunk, we find it may not be in a condition to be used because we didn't have it in readiness. And then when the emergency came, it wasn't ready for us. Sometimes we kind of relegate prayer, some people do, to emergency situations. When we get kind of stranded on the highway of life and some calamity comes, now don't misunderstand me. God wants us to pray. He teaches us, call upon me in the day of trouble, in the time of trouble. I will deliver you. But as someone said, if we walk with Him in the sunshine, He will be with us in the shadows. We should not just relegate prayer life to some emergency situation, some calamity. What we need to do, as we've mentioned in Paul's teaching to the church in Thessalonica, to pray without ceasing. But let's look at those three attitudes, primarily and basically. Whenever we pray, we should pray believing. There isn't anything to take the place of believing. Our Lord said in Mark 11, 23-24, verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, ask believing, and you shall have them. You shall receive them. Whoever says unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatever he asks. So our Lord says that we must pray believing. In any prayer that we make to the Lord, we should pray believing. There are many examples in Scripture that teach us the necessity of believing when we pray. In Matthew 9:29, when two blind men came to Jesus, and they were wanting His help, they were wanting His aid, our Lord said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. He was really saying, how big or how great is your faith? We need to ask ourselves often, how big is our God? We sometimes as Christians put ourselves down. We minimize ourselves. And we have what some would term as the grasshopper complex. We need to believe, as Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. God is able, He said, to do more than you ask, yes. But He's also able to do more than you think. We need to believe in a big, powerful, gracious, merciful, all-loving, all-caring God. And whenever we pray, we need to pray believing. In Acts the 12th chapter, in verse 1, about that time, Herod stretched forth his hands and began to vex certain of the church. James, the brother of John, he slew with the sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Peter was locked up in bonds in prison, and the angel of the Lord came and led him out of that prison. But in verse 5, prior to that time, the church was gathered together praying continually for Peter. I don't know what the words of their prayer might have been. I don't know that they were asking the Lord to unlock those prison doors, they might have. I don't know the content of their prayer, but they were praying for Peter. And in verse 12, Peter came to that place, to that house, and knocked at the door of the gate. And a young woman, a young lady named Rhoda, came. And when she recognized Peter's voice, the Scripture says that for gladness, she went in and told them that Peter was standing at the gate, the door of the gate. And Scripture says that Peter continued knocking while the church deliberated. For they said to this young woman, "You're beside yourself. It's his ghost." And while they deliberated over the fact that this cannot possibly be, Peter continued to knock at the door of that gate. While my brethren spent time there saying, "It can't happen, it can't be, it cannot be, Peter." What I'm saying is, brethren, sometimes the Lord answers our prayers. And sometimes we fail to open our eyes and to really know and to really say, "Here's the answer. Here it is." And we say, "It just can't be." The Scripture teaches us we walk by faith and not by sight. But so many times in the church, we're so inclined to walk by sight rather than faith. Oftentimes we fail to give God room. Pray believing. Pray believing when you pray. That's the attitude that God requires of us. And then when we pray, we need to pray accepting. There's some things in life that must be accepted. Some things that we don't like, we don't appreciate, and sometimes we may even say, "Why me, Lord? Why? Why did this or that ordeal happen to me?" But Jesus, in Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, 39, He said, "Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, Your will be done, not mine." In the very shadow of the cross, Jesus said, "Father, if there's some other way, let it be. But He said, Your will be done. I accept it. I don't understand everything about it, but I accept it. I desire that there could be some other way, but I accept it." We need to pray accepting. In Philemon, in verse 22 of that one chapter book, Paul, in writing to that great man, he says, "And withal prepare for me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you." He said, "Get the guest room ready and then pray. And I trust because you pray that I'll be able to come and visit with you and to be with you," Paul says. But get everything ready and then pray. As if you expected and you believe that I'm going to occupy that guest room. Acceptance. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the spirit or whether in the body, I know not. Such a one was called up into the third heaven and heard words which were unspeakable, which were not lawful for a man to utter. And lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Three times I besought the Lord that He would remove it. And He said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Whatever that thorn in the flesh was,
Paul carried it with him to the grave. He prayed fervently for the Lord to take it away, and he said no. He accepted. There are a lot of things we have to accept. And some people have to accept, it seems, some of the most difficult things in life. Acceptance is what we need to do when we pray. Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And then lastly, whenever we pray, we need to pray with assurance, with the knowledge that God always, always answers every prayer of all of His children. Now, He doesn't always answer them the way we want them. He doesn't always say yes. Sometimes the Lord says wait. Isaiah 40:31, wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall mount up as eagles, the wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we need to wait. And sometimes the Lord, whenever we pray for something and we don't receive it, the Lord says, wait. Maybe the thing isn't bad, but maybe it's not the best thing now for you. In Luke 11:13, Jesus says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? God will not give any bad gifts to His children. Sometimes, as His children, we ask for things that aren't good for us. And the Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, can look down the stream of history and see things that would be bad for us that we don't understand, we don't recognize. And He says no. Not in audible words that we can audibly hear, but whenever we as a Christian pray believing and pray accepting God's verdict on the matter, whatever comes, we can believe and know it's God's will. It may be God has decided to wait, or it may be some of the things are no, never. I know as a child, I've often asked my parents to do things, and sometimes they said very emphatically no. And I'm sure it broke my heart. And I probably at times thought that they were just being mean and ugly and cruel and unkind, but not granting me my wish. I don't think I thought that an awful lot. Not because I wouldn't have been inclined to do so, but I somehow felt my mother had ESP. I somehow thought she could know what I was thinking. And so I was very careful. I assure you of that. But as I've become older, I realized they were concerned about me. That they wanted the thing that was best for me. And sometimes when they said no, I didn't realize then, but now I do. What child can understand when the parents take it to the doctor and maybe it has to have some kind of shot, and that little child or that little baby just squirms and cries and no doubt thinks this is horrible. And to add to it, mother and or dad is holding me and letting this nurse do this terrible thing to me. But as the child becomes older, he realizes that mother and dad weren't being ugly and unkind. They were being good, though it hurt at the moment. So it is with God. Sometimes some of the things that come may be weight, maybe never, and it may be hurtful at the moment. We're God's children, and we know that as James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of His turning. God sometimes says, wait, sometimes never. He will not give something to us that's bad. I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father that loves me enough that when I'm foolish to ask for something that's bad for me, He says no, and He doesn't grant it. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against all of them that do evil. Brethren, I'm afraid so many times we fail to really talk to our Father as we should. Because He stands ready to hear our prayers, listening, and ready to bless us. I remember a few years ago when I'd call my parents. Dad didn't hear too well on the telephone, and Mother always answered the telephone. And when Mother would answer the telephone with her hello, and I'd say, "Mother," the next words would be, "God bless you." Before she ever said, "How are you? How's everything going with you?" she'd always say, "God bless you." There were nine of us. Nine of the children. But of course, Mother, as mothers know, the voice of all the children. And the first thing would be, "God bless you." If my mother were living today and I were to call her, wouldn't matter how long it had been, that's the first thing she'd say. "God bless you." I like to believe, and I know, that my Heavenly Father loves me more than my mother ever could, although I can't understand that. I don't have the ability to understand it, but I know He does. I know He does. And I know when I pray to my Heavenly Father that He stands there ready and willing and able to bless me. And so many times I fail to communicate with Him as I should to receive His blessing. God help each one of us to use the avenue of prayer. The most powerful thing in all the world. Great things are wrought by prayer. And let's, as God's children, use prayer. Let's pray believing. Let's pray accepting. Let's pray with the assurance that our Heavenly Father will grant unto us the good thing, the thing that's best for us. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. You need to be on praying terms with the Lord. In Proverbs 28:9, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination unto God." And so if you have been willfully going against the will of God, you need to surrender your life to Jesus in confession of His name, believing in Him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins and being baptized, starting the marvelous Christian journey, and then being that faithful child of God.